الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد مفتاح باب رحمة الله عدد ما في علم الله صلاة وسلام دائمين بدوام ملك الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وأشهد أنه الله الذي لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا ورب شاهدا ونحن له مسلمون وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون أما بعد يا عباد الله إني موصيكم ونفسي إياي بتقوى الله الحمد لله we thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى for his bounty and his generosity and his grace and his mercy and all of the gifts that he gives us subhanahu wa ta'ala, most of which that we do not perceive, most of which that we are heedless of, most of which that we do not know. The bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great that the way that we experience it is that in a very limited sense, in a way that we are aware of his bounty is very limited. But from the bounty of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it is given us the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who one of his names is he is Al-Hadi, he is the guide. And the Quran is guidance, and one of the names of Allah is Al-Hadi as well. He is the guide subhanahu wa ta'ala in reality. But the greatest manifestations of guidance here in this world that are that of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what he brought from the Quran. The Qur'an from the very beginning until the very end, all of it is guidance. And what is the essence of guidance is that it takes you from where you are to where you're supposed to be. This is the essence of this deen, is that it came to uplift us and it came to reconnect us back to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in every single one of us. That is the potential that every single one of us has to know our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this regard, is that we find that there were companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam that learned the Qur'an, that took in general from the various statements of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then we also find is that there were people that asked the Prophet very specific questions. And we find because our Prophet was given the Jawami al-Kalim, he was given comprehensive words, is that he had an ability to summarize and sum up for people what exactly that person needed. And that just as every single one of us is that we are needing everything in the Qur'an, but some of us are in more need of other things, some things than others. So alhamdulillah, this guidance still remains amongst us. And it is upon you and I to be able to expose ourselves to this guidance so that we can take the greatest provision of all towards the next word, which is the provision of taqwa. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ taqwa. And seek provision. Indeed, the greatest provision of all is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that in relation to this, we know that believers are of different types. Is that you have various degrees, and there are multiple breakdowns that we have in the Quran. One of them is when our Lord says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. Then we bequeath the book to those that we have chosen from amongst our servants. فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَسِبٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. Among them are those that have oppressed their own souls. And then you have someone who's somewhere in the middle. And then you have the foremost to all good. And that we know through a hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them are najin. All of them will attain salvation. But the one who is zalim li nafsihi, who they can do so much more yet they do not do it, is not like the one who is muqtasid, the one that's somewhere in the middle. And that is not like the one who is sabiq bil khairat, who is at the foremost of all good, that we have various degrees. So the believer is that we should reflect upon the akhirah about which our Lord says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that we know that if there's degrees in this world, is that in the next world, is that there's even a greater degree between those two degrees. And there's even a greater manifestation, the difference between the experiencing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounty. And so the wise person will understand is that the more that we can do now here in this world to prepare for the next world, is that the more we will then experience the bounty of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala in that next world. And alhamdulillah, is that the opportunities for us to do this are still here. that we still have inheritors of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst us. We have people that have taken from teachers who have taken from teachers with an unbroken chain back to the Prophet himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who have an ability to, in a sense, summarize what it is that we need. And I wanted to share today one of the things when I first started studying this religion. And once you become a student of this religion, is that you never cease to be a student. Knowledge is from the cradle to the grave. In reality, the more that you come to know, the more that you come to realize that you don't know. And this is why we should always have humility accompany our pursuit of knowledge. But when I arrived to the school that I was studying in, that I heard that one of the teachers there said, is that the sincere student in this school, the reality is that 2 days will suffice them. And when I first heard this, I said, well, that's a pretty interesting statement. And I was impacted by it, but it didn't make sense to me. Because that to formally study that you need a lot of years. Just in whether it's in religious knowledge or other types of knowledge, you need a long period of time. So that can't be what he was talking about. So when I had an opportunity to ask that teacher, that what is this statement, what does this statement mean? Is that he was very impacted and he paused. And what I came to understood from that pause, it was that that statement was true, but the people who that will live up to that statement is that they have a great affair. They have great traits, and they have dimensions to them that are not like other people. You could have two people do the exact same thing. And if the person is dhalin min nafsi and the other person is sabiq bil khairat, they're not going to experience it the same. So then he went on to mention 5 things. These are, in a sense, these traits of the people who will benefit in a very short period of time that will take other people a very long time. And the very first thing that he mentioned was the following: taqwiyatun niyyati wal azima, learning to strengthen our intentions and have firm resolve. Strengthening our intentions and having firm resolve. He didn't just say making an intention, because making an intention is fundamental to this deen. One of the 4 hadith around which it is the axis that the entire deen revolves is the hadith of intention that we've heard from the time that we're young. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ until the end of the hadith. Indeed, all actions are only by intentions. However, that despite making intentions, which we know that we all have to do, there's various degrees of strength of intention. All of us here who are here today are present. But some people are thinking about going to work. Other people are thinking about what they're going to do when they get home. Other people are thinking about how they're going to fit lunch in before they go back to work. People here have various degrees of intention and various degrees of strength of intention. Is that coming to Jummah, for instance, is that the stronger that your intention is that the more that you will get out of it. And this is not just for Jummah. This applies to the prayer. This applies to Ramadan. This applies that when you go back home after a long day's work and you want to relax when you go home, but you tend to forget part of being a father is not that you relax at home. Is that now you actually are further on duty when you get home. Now it's time to serve your family on top of everything that you're doing during the day. But this is a constant through everything that we do. The stronger our intention is in relation to the things that we do, the more that we will get out of it. And this is the sunnah of Allah and His creation. This applies to the dunya just as it applies to the akhirah. All of our different affairs, this is a constant. Learning how to make strong intentions. And that from the beginning that we do an act until the end, the stronger the intention, there might be people who are present at the first part of the khutbah. But as the khutbah goes on, they start to drift. Is that their inner speech starts to drag them out of the mosque, so they're actually that drifting and they're in the marketplace, or they're thinking about what they're going to buy on Amazon or whatever you may have it. Is that having a strong intention will allow you to be present, which we know is the secret of worship. Is that being present with Allah and doing in the given moment what it is that you're supposed to be doing. And in the way that we make decisions, we have to understand where the intention comes in. A very rough breakdown of how we act is as follows. All action begins with a thought that comes to the heart. After we have an initial thought, is that our nature comes in at this point. We have an inclination. After the inclination, this is where knowledge comes in, is that we make a judgment. And it's only after that we make a judgment that we make an intention to do an act, and then when our intention becomes strong, it leads to resolve. So 4 or 5 steps in the process. All action begins with thoughts. And one of the most important things that we can learn to do is to be able to recognize the thoughts that come to our mind. Nothing that we do by way of good or evil, except that it begins with a thought. And then according to the degree of the purity of the soul, which the Quran gives us three different stages, we have the nafs al-ammara bisu, the nafs al-mutma'inna, and we have the nafs al-lawama and the nafs al-mutma'inna, all of which are mentioned in the Quran. You have the nafs that incites to evil. You have the reproachful nafs. And then the third degree is that you have the tranquil nafs. Depending upon the degree of the purity of our soul will depend upon whether, if it's a good thought, we'll incline towards it, or if it's a bad thought, that we will have an aversion towards it. But from the blessing of Allah, for these two stages, we're not taken to account. It's only at the third stage where we might start to be taken to account. And this is where we have a hukm al-qalb of the qalb, is that this is where we give a judgment of the heart based upon what came to our heart initially. This is where we have to have knowledge. This is where that we have to have an understanding of the teachings of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have to be immersed in the world, in a worldview of the Quran, so that we can sift through and know what it is that we should do and what it is that we shouldn't do it, and the things that we should do, when we should do it, and how we should do it. We have to give a judgment at this point. And it's only after we make that judgment will we then have an intention about whether this is something that we should do or whether this is something that we should not do. And this is where sincerity comes in. And sincerity is one of these lifelong processes. Why Allah would not have said, وَمَا أُمِرُوا, they have only been commanded. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, they have only been commanded to be able to worship Him sincerely, sincerely worship Him for the religion. We would not have been commanded in this way unless that it was a lifelong process. Is that whereby that we start to detach from this world, and that we try to have the impulse be for the actions that we do, be desiring what's in the akhirah, and be desiring what's in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in proximity unto Him and His reward. But this is the level of intention. And when the intention comes strong, that we have resolve. And it's when we have resolve is that this is what's going to allow us to get through what other people get stuck. When you enter into a relationship, for instance, is that you have this utopian view or that idealistic view of the way that it is. But if you enter in with the right intention and with a strong intention, when thick becomes thin and things get difficult, you'll be able to get through the difficulties. That you'll be able to bear patiently that whatever afflictions that are coming your way. So the very first step is to learn how to make strong intentions. And you could go on and on and on about the importance of this, but this is really the key for everything that we do in our lives. This is the secret for being present in the moment, and this is the secret for getting maximum benefit for anything that we do. The second thing that he mentioned after this was al-ijtihad fi tasfiyat al-qalb, working hard to purify your heart. And this does not just apply to someone who's in school. This is in every experience that we are exposed to. Every time that you come to the mosque, it is an opportunity to purify your heart. All your relationships that you have are an opportunity to purify your heart. When you go to the workplace, it is an opportunity to purify your heart. Everything that you do in life, whether it be some type of dealing or interaction with another person or worship, is an opportunity for you to purify your heart. And we know is that the whole goal of this whole affair is to return to Allah with a qalb saneem. So if you approach relationships as such, not just marriage, because we all know what marriage does, and we all know the side that it brings out in us that otherwise lies dormant. This is why marriage is such a blessing, is that we learn things about ourselves. One of the reasons why it's a blessing, that is, we learn things about ourselves otherwise that we would never know. But also when you're at work, if someone mistreats you, this is a golden opportunity for you, if you have the right perspective, to be able to purify your heart. When you're on the road, if you're aware of what it is that I am saying and someone cuts you off, is that you will refrain and be able to restrain your anger, and that you will be able to take that as an opportunity to work on yourself. Every experience that we have in life ultimately is an opportunity to work on ourselves if we approach it correctly. But we have to first have a strong intention, and secondly, we have to have a perspective where everything that we do, we want to take this as an opportunity to be able to attain a qalb saneem. The third thing that he mentioned was al-istimsaku bit-tawadi' wa inkisar al-qalb. is that while we have strong intentions and we take everything as an opportunity for purity, is that we also adhere to a state of humility and brokenness of heart. This is one of the most important traits of all. This is that one of the greatest traits of our Prophet ﷺ, and all his traits were great, is that he was humble. He was the best of creation, but he was the most humble of creation. And it was because that he was the best of creation that he was the most humble of creation. It was because he was the most humble of creation that he was the best of creation. ﷺ. Humility has to be there for everything that we do. And if you have this trait of humility, is that this will be a protection for you in both success and in failure. Is that sometimes we think that it's easier to deal with success than to deal with failure. That was not the understanding of the companions. The companions' understanding, because these were people of spiritual insight who for them, the other world was more of a reality than this world because of the way that they were preparing for it. For them, it was the opposite. They said, "Ubtalina bil hazima fasabarna." That we were tried with defeat and we were able to remain patient. وَلَكِنْ أُبْتَلِينَ بِالنَّصْرِ فَلَمْ نَصْبِرْ. We were tried with victory, but we were unable to remain patient. They had a different way of viewing things. Because they realized is that when you give in victory, when you're successful in other words, is that you have to be able to protect yourself internally. But by maintaining a state of humility, this is one of the greatest protections of all. Is that when you are successful, but you are also humble, it will protect you from being arrogant. It will protect you from ascribing that success to your own self. It will protect you from going astray in a number of different ways. But likewise, when there's failure, how? Because when there's failure, that if you realize that you are a humble servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will recognize that you have limits. And you will recognize that ultimate success is not always being victorious outwardly. Because there's times where we're not victorious outwardly, where we outwardly fail, but in reality it's a success. In reality, there's something that we had to learn from that. There was a lesson in it. And then by being humble is that we'll be able to receive that what that reality is. And so this has to be at the heart, because the danger of arrogance, which is the opposite of humility, is that arrogance blinds. It prevents people from seeing truth. And it prevents people from accepting that truth. And how could you accept truth if you're unable to see it? Whereas humility, that it's one of the greatest ways of all, that even if you put it in an outward metaphor of outwardly lowering yourself, where does the rain go? The rain goes to the depressions in the earth. That it bounces off high spots and it collects and gathers in the low places in the depressions of the earth. And rain is a metaphor for Allah's mercy. If you want to collect Allah's mercy, the best way to be able to receive and to collect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is to remain humble in all of your different affairs. And how many times have we heard the story of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the way that he entered into Mecca al-Mukarramah? He entered in showing outward signs of humility sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is this humility that will allow you as well, is that when people say something bad to you, or that they say something that you dislike, is that it will protect you from being able to shout back at them or saying something that you shouldn't say. This is the trait that protects you from that. Because you already see yourself as nothing. You already see yourself as an entirely in need of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And in the fact that you see yourself, we should, as being sinful. And that we are in absolute need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, while at the same time not getting into a state of despair. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But it will allow you that when people say bad things to you, is that you already see yourself in that way. You already see yourself in need of Allah's mercy, so you're balanced in that you don't give up. But at the same time, is that you realize this, your true state and your true reality. Is that this will be able to help you in this. And how many stories, inspiring stories, of those who came before us, do we know of this nature? Is that one time Sayyidina Ali Zain al-Abidin, is that he was praying in the mosque and there was a man who had lost a purse of money, the great grandson of the Prophet ﷺ. And that when he came back to the mosque, is that he found this man praying. And he said that, "This is the man that stole my money. Who else is in the mosque? It must have been him." And so he waited and he prolonged his prayer. And he said, "The only reason he's prolonging his prayer is because that he doesn't want me to ask him where my money is." So when he finished his prayer, is that he then that rebuked him and he said horrible things to him. He says, give me my money back. So Sayyidina Ali Zain al-Abidin was innocent. He of course did not do that. But he went back and gave the man the amount that he said that he had lost, that he felt that he had stolen. And then when he went back to his house, the man found that he had actually left the purse at home. So then he goes back and someone told him, do you know who that was? That was the great grandson of the Prophet ﷺ. And so when he goes and he knocks on his door, and then he profusely apologizes for what he did. What did Sayyidina Ali Zain al-Abidin say? He says that we Ahl Bayt, when we give something, that we don't take it back. But he didn't even defend himself against it. And then there's another situation where he was cursed and they were spoken very ill in his presence. And he looked at the man and said, is there anything that I could do for you? These traits of heart, this requires humility. And that this ties into the next trait, which is حسن الظن مع الآخرين, having a good opinion of others. Think about how many difficulties we cause ourselves because we don't have a good opinion of other people. If we could just give people the benefit of the doubt, maybe that same person who cut you off on the highway, maybe they were having a bad day. Maybe that they're in a hurry. Maybe that they've been late multiple times for work, and if they're late one more time, they're going to lose their job. Just having a good opinion of other people. And the beautiful thing of it is that if you have a good opinion of other people, you never lose. You always win, even if you're wrong. And we need to learn how to have a good opinion. And it very well could be that there's things coming to people's minds that, oh, well, I can't have a good opinion in this situation or in that situation. Yes, even having a good opinion is a balance. You don't go to the store and see some shady people and leave your car open and have a good opinion because that they're not going to steal anything. That's not what we're referring to here. What we're referring to is in terms of judging people's intentions, understanding why people do what it is that they do. If you would simply have a good opinion of people, especially in the workplace, there is a lot of miserable people out there and they bring that misery to work. And they bring that misery into the interactions. But where is our mercy? Have a good opinion, have a mercy that is like the mercy of the Rasul. And that mercy will pierce through a lot of this nonsense. And that if you remain constant in that mercy, is that you will find people come around eventually. And then the last trait after this, because that relates to other people, مَعَ مُوَاصَلَةِ الْعَمَلِ. You could idiomatically translate that is, everyone has to have a program. Everyone has to have a regime. If you want to get the barakah and blessing of your time, is that you have to have some type of regime. Is that you have to set your day such that you give priority to certain things. And the most important thing that you could give priority to is the 5 daily prayers. Make your internal clock, and ideally your external clock, revolve around the 5 daily prayers. Make that the pivot and the axis of your day. Is that schedule things around it, and ideally pray those 5 daily prayers in the beginning of time, in the congregation, if you can in the masjid. If not, at very least, for maghrib, or for fajr and for isha. There's no reason we shouldn't have this amount of people for Fajr and for Isha in a very real way. Is that we should strive to be able to pray at least 1 or 2 prayers in the mosque. If not, that we should pray them in the beginning part of their times in congregation. If not, make sure to at least pray in the beginning part of the time. Make your prayers that everything else in the day revolve around that. Prayer is of the most important, but then we also have to have a schedule as well, where we acquire beneficial knowledge, where we also have some type of service, but have a schedule to your life, whereby which you can get the blessing out of the time that you are in. And what you will find if you do these 5 things is that you will increase your what is known as your spiritual preparedness, such that every situation that you are in, these are the keys that will open up maximum benefit. And if you apply them to every aspect of your life, that you will find is that the quality of your life will be great, and that you will benefit immensely, even if it's only a short period of time, for doing whatever it is that you're doing. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولجميع المسلمين فاستغفروه فإنه غفور رحيم. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin, ashraf al-anbiya'i wa al-mursaleen, wa ala alihi tayyibin, tahirin, wa sahabati al-akrami wa tabi'in, wa bi ihsan ila yawm al-deen, wa alayna ma'um wa fihim bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin, inni musikum wa nafsi iyaya, bi taqwallah. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to be in this blessed month of Rajab, one of the 4 inviolable months. Ramadan is right around the corner, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place blessing for us in Rajab and Sha'ban and cause us to reach Ramadan. If we haven't started preparing, now is the time to start preparing. This is one of the meanings that we take from this blessed supplication of our Prophet, is that especially in Rajab and Sha'ban, these are times that we prepare for the blessed month of Ramadan. The more we prepare inwardly and outwardly, the more benefit, and the more we'll be able to harvest the blessings of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Inna Allah wa malaikatuhu yusalluna ala nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد ورضي الله تعالى عن سادتنا الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعلى جميع أهل بيت رسول الله المطهرين من الأرجاس وعلينا معهم وفيهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات المسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا ذا القوة المتين ويا راحم المساكين ويا أرحم الراحمين أنجز لنا رحمة من عندك نسعد بها في الدنيا والآخرة ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آواكم الله نصركم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر